I want to start with a simple thing, and I want you to learn from a mistake that I made, okay? And I've taught this many, many times over the years when I was here, and I've taught it in other places as well. But I violated this principle. After the service, the Martin Luther King celebration last year, John and I went to lunch. We had lunch, and I told him, I said, John, that's the last time I'm going to be speaking at the church. And John, being John, just kind of took it in stride. He said, oh, really? And I don't know what that meant. but anyway, over this last year, I kept having dreams over and over again. And here in the last few months, they intensified. And one of them, I'm pretty slow and I don't do well with dreams, so I called in friends of mine to help me interpret what God may be saying. And I had one of those friends do that for me. And I won't embarrass her by telling you who she is, but she helped me work through that. And then she shared something with me that, could it be that God is meaning this? Because I was really frustrated in my spirit. I'm getting all of this, these words that God is placing in me that I know is for his people, and I have no platform. And I said, okay, well, maybe I'm supposed to write. And it never, I wrote, but that never fixed it. It never satisfied my soul. It never really, now what? You know, how do I process this information? And you may learn from my mistake, because I've taught this many times. There's revelation, interpretation, and application. And it's a process. When you get a word from God, the first thing you should be doing is seeking God, what did you mean by that? And then number three, how do I apply it? I don't know about you, I'm confessing to you, my fault. I went from revelation to application. I bypassed seeking the Lord as to what it may mean with what he's saying to me, okay? And so, don't do that. It won't work well for you. And maybe you'll go to some places where you don't want to go, and you endure some things you don't need to endure, and have some dreams that, quite frankly, can really frustrate you. And that's kind of where I was, very, very frustrated as to what does all this mean. And so just a few weeks ago, I had a call with John. He was telling me Miguel was going to be in town, and was I going to come? And I'm thinking, oh God, now I got to go back to that place and start praying about this in light of the dream I just had. And I'm repenting right before all of you. I missed it, okay? I missed it. I don't know what you think, but these people, those of us that sits on this stage, are not infallible. We do the very best we can. We seek the heart of God. You are his children, and it is our heart to speak on his behalf of what he's saying to us for you. That should be the sole thing of a spiritual leader, is what is God saying to his people? What is he saying to his people? So now that I've confessed that and we got all the way, we can move right along, okay? I love Martin Luther King Jr. When I was a child, he was my hero. He's still my hero. He wasn't infallible. He was a man just like all of us. How many of you know that all of God's children have issues? Now, some of you sitting there looking like, man, I've overcome my issue. No, that's your issue. You haven't overcome your issue. You don't even know what your issue is. We all got issues. And for those that you don't think got issues, that's a blind spot, and you need to ask your mate or somebody close to you. There's times I do not, I've been married to my wife 44 years, I do not have guts enough to ask her about my issues. I just know her. Somebody has to help you misunderstand what she says to you. I was counseling, so you just, boy, this is funny. I would counsel some people here at the office, and we would give them three sessions, John and I, three sessions. And I was counseling this couple that has some marital issues. And after three sessions, I'm ready to go because I don't know if we're making any headway. And maybe somebody else can do better. And so I said, how do you guys feel? And they said, oh, I think we've made some headway. We're putting in practice some of those things that you said. I said, well, God bless you. That's good. And they said, you know, I think we ought to continue on. Would you consider doing that? But we'd like to do one thing. And I said, what's that? And they said, we want to invite your wife in. Wanda was working right outside my office at that time, and she was doing some administrative stuff for John. And so I said, how can I say that? I'm thinking in my mind, I got to give an answer here real fast. And I'm saying, I said to us, sweetheart, why don't we do this? Why don't we see if we can get you healed up a little bit more before we bring her in? Because it won't be pretty. She, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, this ain't good, you know. She was just said, listening to it one time, you stop that, you start doing that. I mean, it's just, you know, I brought her in a couple times. I saw that. And then she looks at me and she said, did I do okay? I said, yeah. I think they got the point. I said, but now we got to clean up all this stuff around the point, you know. So, you know, but she's that way. And sometimes we need people to just get to the real meat of the issue. And that will tell it just like it is. But many of us have to get healed up before we can get there. We got to get our hearts, we got to get our faith up. We got to get our hearts in line with God once again. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the dreamer and this divine reset. When we were going through the pandemic a few years ago, and I don't know if any of you really noticed this, but during the year 2020, I believe I have that right. It wasn't 2019, I think it was 2020, that everybody worldwide was locked up in their homes because of a pandemic outside during Passover. Did you guys miss that? And I said, God, what are you doing? It's not like I believe God, it was the virus, it was from the Lord. I didn't believe that, and I still don't believe that. I believe that's the enemy. Okay, that's my belief. If you want to believe something else, that's God bless you. But that's what I believe. But just as my brother said, Romans 8:28 is true, that he'll make all things work together for the good for those that love him and that are called according to his purposes. Let me ask you, do you think that caught God off guard? No, absolutely. So I said, God, what are you doing? He says, oh, this is a divine reset. There are so many people that don't have time for me. They're going to have time for me now. I'm taking some of the options off the table. Can't go out, can't run up and down, can't entertain myself, can't fill my life with all the nothings that goes on. So I'm doing a reset. It's kind of like Tim ain't here, and he didn't let me grow very much in the computer. In fact, most of the time when I was at church and we have a storm damage and things like that, well, I know, at least I thought I did, I knew that all you have to do is go back and reset things, you know, reboot it. And most of the time was, no, put your hands in your pocket and step away from the computer. You'll create more problems for me than you will ever solve. He'll live faith, but that's him. But my point is that many times computers, when they run into something like that, they disconnect it from all the outside elements. They go back into the factory reset. Those sets, reset that was done from the very beginning. And then you have to go back and customize it once again to its other settings. Now, some of you computer guys, forgive me if it's a bad analogy, maybe it doesn't do it anymore. But there are electrical resets as well. When there's a surge come, you have surge protectors in your home, or something that damages or threatens to disconnect the entire system or damage the entire system, that particular outlet will click and go in to shut it down, and you have to go back and reset it. And I believe what God was saying, this is a divine time of reset for my people. They don't look much different than the world looks. We don't act much different than the world act. Today I'd like to weave in some of Martin's quotes, and this is one of them today. In fact, I went back and looked at a few of my notes, and I talked about dreaming with God. What would it look like to dream with God? I spoke to you about a couple of things that you as a believer of God has got an advantage over those that don't know God or recognize God. And that is that we have IQ, intelligence, capacity of knowledge and things like that's given to everyone. There's EQ, which is emotional intelligence. We've learned to be able to understand people better by tapping into that. But you got another one that no one else has. It's called SQ, spiritual intelligence. What would it look like to look at every situation and begin to see it through God's eyes? And so one of the things I'm going to share with you here in a few minutes is what is God's doing through us, Harvest Community Charities, and through our for-profit company, Carver Jones Markets, to bring about a divine reset in many of our communities. And so I've got a little 5-minute video that I want you to see, because this is the area we're working in. These are the communities we're going to work in, this one community this year, and the West End of Birmingham. And I want you to hear this pastor's heart, because it's who we partner with in this. Can you guys show that little video, please? This is the pastor.
I sensed and have for a long time that God was going to bring renewal. I didn't know how.
Urban Hope is a really long-term ministry. We plan on being here for a long time, and we have people that are committed to being here for a long time. Us moving to this building has given us a place to plant our flag here, to put our logo up on the downtown skyline, to really establish ourselves as a viable church, and to see more people catch the vision for ministry among the poor here in Fairfield.
When it first came about, to be totally honest with you, I didn't have the faith. I was a struggling servant of Christ. And I remember saying to the Lord, we need to sell this building. And I can remember after about a couple months, just really sensing the Lord kind of like putting on my heart, like stand back and watch me. You would come downtown Fairfield during the week and you'd see construction going on at this church called Urban Hope Community Church. And I would say to you, that was the beginning of God saying, renewal is in the atmosphere. I think if our inner cities are going to have any hope, it will be led by African-American young men. Many of them are fatherless, growing up in situations that are not according to the blueprint of God for healthy families. And that's where I think God's going to raise up church planters, front-end laborers in the kingdom of God for churches and church plants all across the country.
The ultimate goal for the Urban Hope Leadership Initiative is to see them just have a better place to launch from as far as leadership in the home, leadership in the church, leadership in the workplace, being able to really invest in the communities and the churches that they'll be a part of in the future.
We started it, we didn't have housing, so it went away, and this building right next door to our church is in God's providence, comes on the market. while we're finishing up this building. It had never been up for sale. Most of the young men in front of me, now their husbands, their fathers, they live in Fairfield, and this story needs to be told because God has already done it. It's not that something we're doing, it's already been done. And then after that came the grocery store. Fairfield is in a food desert where people don't have a grocery store. I can't tell you guys, sitting in my seat as a Black African-American pastor, the kind of healing in the heart, or even just the thought of a grocery store coming, that is bringing in that particular area of our city. That's the one that the community is waiting for. And also this coffee cafe, two commerce taxpaying revenues for the city of Fairfield, all being supported by my Christians and brothers and sisters all over Birmingham.
The block here on Gary Avenue in particular, we just put a mural down on our Urban Hope Development Center. It has a message behind it of hope springing up into our community. It has a message of God marking territory in what has otherwise been the territory of the adversary.
We never set out to own buildings. And I hadn't thought about it, but it really broke me down because Blacks are saying, well, Blacks don't own anything in Birmingham, especially downtown Fairfield. They says, but those buildings are in that church's name. And that grocery store that coming underneath those lofts, it's gonna be called Urban Hope Grocery Market. Who's behind that? I think it's changing a denomination from within. Now, I think for futuristic church plants, we can now say it can work. We can do this. And so my hope and heart that we can plant more Urban Hope community churches like this all across Birmingham and the area and wherever the Lord will send it.
We've seen a lot of stability just in our leadership here at the church of having young African-American men between ages of 18 and 35 that are raising their families and married to one woman and are really representing Jesus Christ here in the community. We'll continue to have opportunities to redevelop and develop leaders, disciples, and to see it revitalize Fairfield from within.
I was like, man, God, you've been faithful when I wasn't faithful. I mean, every time I tried to quit this work, God, that particular Sunday would do something uncanny outside of the norm at our church. It's a reflection of the one who calls us out of Egypt, that he makes us into what he intended for us to be when we're placed in our mother's womb. Part of my story to Fairfield and abroad, it says that God is real and there's hope for the greatest hopeless person there is. That's what I ask God to do. Please, Lord, just bring healing, real gospel healing. Bring real gospel but no one can deny it. That's the story. That's a story I preached at Oak Mountain 10 years ago.
I don't know.
So that's what we're doing, is we're partnering with them. And this is not that hard to understand, folks. If you went to a third world country, the first thing you would do is find out what the humanitarian need is, right? And you would bring that. And because you're in relationships with people, sharing the gospel becomes easy. Why? Because you've demonstrated to them already that you love them and you care about them. Not just what you can do for them, but partnering with them. And so I won't get into it today. If you'd like to know more, you can visit our website at hccharities.com, www.hccharities.com. And kind of keep up with us. You can sign up for the newsletter that will give us, that will get you up to date on what we're doing. Also, I probably got close to 100 prayer intercessors, and probably 90% comes from here. Also, that is true about the support that we've had over the years, has come from here. You know, when you go into a missionary field, you don't ask the people there to be able to support what you're doing for them. You got to be able to bring some support in there to allow sustainability, and you've done that. And I'm so grateful for you. We could have not made it without you. There are some of you that are kind of in the sidelines. You don't know what your prayers and your support did. It made the difference of quitting or staying. And just like Alton, there's many times I wanted to quit. Oh my God. God, can I quit? Can I give up? You know, he doesn't have exit ramps over his way. Because I'd look for them. If they were there, I would have found them. When he says and decrees and declares something, he means it. So let's dig into the message real quick. And if you guys listen fast, I'll talk fast. We'll get done with this, okay? I feel a part of my responsibility in this is that is to help God's people see what is he doing in the now and help us be able to embrace what he's saying and doing in this moment of time. So I want to just share a couple things with you. First of all, before I do that, I'm going to quote a couple of things from Martin that I really love, because Martin was a dreamer. And one of the things of the dream was calling a culture or a nation back to its original place. Reset. This is what you wrote. You said, because God has given every man this right, and they are created equal. No one is special because of the color of their skin, or should be denied anything because of the color of their skin. That we all are, our rights are inalienable or can't be undone because they're not given by man, they're given by God. And he hasn't repealed them, nor will he ever repeal them. He said, I have a dream that my four little children would one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. That dream has not been realized yet. And a few months ago, I had a dream. And I was in Birmingham. I had never seen this, but I saw a man standing over a hill overlooking Birmingham. The closer I got, I could see the silhouette of him, outline of him, and I had a sense that it was someone I knew. The closer I got to him, I noticed that it was Martin. And I noticed the place he was looking over was Birmingham. And the closer I got, I could see him shaking his head. The closer I got, I could see the tears falling from his eyes. I could hear his words. And he said, this is not my dream. This ain't it. This ain't it. This ain't it. And I walked away very grieved because I knew instantly what he meant. That these words that he had just spoken were not about skin color. They're about character. What's on the inside, not what's on the outside. So as we look at the things that we're going to look at today, we need to ask ourselves, what time is it? What time is it? And this great reset, we need to understand that this is a new era. God is doing something. I'm excited about it. You read, if you pick up your notes there, you can read along with me. And I want you to understand what I'm about to read is where the world is, not where God's people is. This is where the world is. So we should not be surprised. But mark this, the writer says. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, pride, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited,
Love is a pleasure rather than love is of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with these people. There's that clear demarcation line. Here's, I've got a book I'm writing called The Clash of Two Kingdoms. This is what the kingdom of the world looks like. This is the world's kingdom. These are the things that they seek to satisfy but never find satisfaction in. But this is the demarcator of being able to understand this is where they are. When will this happen? In the last days. Is it happening now? Amen. You know, sadly to say, the church sees that, but it doesn't see where it is. And as I was preparing that message for that time, I said, God, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm doing Acts chapter 2. And I opened the book and began to read it. And it says, in the last days, this is our friend Peter, that just a few chapters before had denied God. A boldness and empowerment of the Holy Spirit is upon him. And he stands before this crowd and says this, in the last days, he's quoting the prophet Joel. And he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Old man, I've had dreams. I will show you wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. What time is it? When will this happen? In the last days. Now, when I say last days, and the Bible's talking about last days, how many of you know that God is not restricted in time? He's timeless. He lives outside of time. We measure time. He does not. He may say, and some of you know what I'm about to say, is that he may say, I'm coming quickly. And you look up in 2,000 years, he ain't got here yet. And so you're thinking, boy, his quickly and my quickly ain't the same quickly. I'm thinking like this afternoon, you know, at the latest tomorrow. He says, oh, I'm going to fix that quickly. And you think, oh, man, I jump up. I hear God said, I'm going to move. Suddenly I'm going to move. And I'm thinking, God, I've learned to ask, how soon is your suddenly? Because I got a suddenly in my mind, like, get me out of here. Get through this. And when I say get me out of here, I'm talking about the situation. I'm not talking about the world. Let me just tell you, church, Jesus is not coming on any rescue mission. Amen. Some people believe, oh, man, just let me get raptured out of here. If he'd have done that, wanted that, he would have killed you when you got saved and took you home. That ain't it. What was Jesus' prayer? Part of Jesus' prayer, and I love talking about the kingdom because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world, as my grandma used to say, they're butt backwards. You want something, give what it is you want and you'll get it many times over. Works the opposite. I want to be loved. Oh, then go love. Whatever it is you want. Oh, it's more blessed to give than receive. But I don't have anything. Give what you got. Give your time. Give your talent. I don't have money. Money ain't the only resource people need. Sometimes they just need a word of encouragement. Maybe they need to be able to say, as we spoke this morning, God's got a plan, and he's got a purpose for your life. You're no accident. No accident. I was born in a situation where I would be called an outcast. And I was treated that way. by people around me. I had to come to understand that my Father, my Heavenly Father, didn't feel that way about me. Didn't matter how I got here. He had a purpose and plan for me. That it was for me. It wasn't against me. He loved me. And so, as we begin to look at these times and these situations and these circumstances that our world is in, we can all agree that we're in darkness right now. And God is saying, don't hide your light. Don't put it up under a pail, you know, a bucket. Let it shine. Get out there in front of it and let your light shine. Here's what Martin said about that. Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. The next step. The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? You don't... Let's look at the father. We call the father of our faith, Abraham. God sends this well secure man financially, had all the things, everything that was needed. And God sends him and says, I want you to go out to a place I'm going to show you. Now, what you probably don't understand, and very few preachers talk about it, but Abraham's father had an opportunity to do the same thing. He didn't do it. So now it's passed on to Abraham. And Abraham believed God, even though he left the land he was familiar in, all the things he was familiar with, his life of comfort, and then he goes out to a place that he don't know where he's going. How would you like to be Abraham? And people ask you, where are you going? I don't know. I just know where I can't stay. God will show me. Really? He's going to really show you. So you're going to step out there. I mean, nature of man hadn't changed. He looked like an idiot. He would look like an idiot today, and God used idiots. People that believe enough of what his word says to step out there into a place that they cannot see. As a matter of fact, I would tell you, you're not walking in faith until you cannot see. You don't know. You don't understand. You don't have all the answers. But you know this, God said. God said. Now, here are some passages that you've heard these. There's nothing new about it. But I just feel really encouraged in my heart to break it down. Over this season, I believe there's been many leaders that have been called the nation to prayer. And almost without exception, I listened to some of the prayer meetings that's gone on. Most of them use 2 Chronicles 7. You see, we're looking at the wickedness of the world to measure what is God doing. You're looking at the wrong thing. Lost people act lost. That's what they do. And to whatever degree of lostness, I mean, there's depths of lostness. We're seeing it now. We're going, oh my God, I can't believe you just did that or just said that or you just acted like that. Our minds, our little Christian minds are being blown by what we see the world doing. And we're blown away. So much so, sometimes it makes us retreat back into places and said they lost their mind. They never had a mind. I don't mean they're not intelligent. That's not the deal. But wisdom comes from God. And wisdom is not just what to do, but it's how to do it. I wear a series of shirts. It calls knowledge, wisdom, and truth. Those are the things I want to base my life on. His word, his wisdom, his truth that produces the end result. So not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We are a people that have the greatest knowledge there is. Now you see the passage there. And it's 2 Chronicles. And I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to talk about some of the points that I believe is so valid for us to get to in this season of our life. And here's the thing. They have just dedicated the temple of God. This is Solomon. He has just dedicated the temple of God. And he's there, and the Lord is giving this edict. He's telling them through the prophet, prophesying, here's what you're to do, and here's what you don't. And he says, if you don't do these things, I'm going to shut up the heavens so there will be no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. And then he says, but, or if, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. We're talking about the people of God, not the people of the world. You are never going to get blind people, dead people, to be able to wake up and see the reality. It's kind of like, as my parents used to say, you're barking up a dead tree. There ain't no life there. And we're always thinking, we're praying and looking for God to help for revival to come. And it's a valid thing, and it's a great desire, and God's going to do it. I believe we're living in one of the greatest times known to man. We're going to see the greatest revival that we'll ever see. You will not be able to find out about what God is doing from CNN or Fox TV. They are not going to report that. Right now, there are Hindu people are having visitations from God. Jesus is showing up. And it's messing people up, because here's what I've been taught from my childhood. My parents' parents' parents believe this stuff. And then Jesus shows up and he says, I'm the Christ. And it just messes it up. What do I do with that? Because teaching is one thing, experience is another. How would I deal with this Jesus that just showed up and say, I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of a living God. I thought pagans believed that. Well, maybe. What you call pagan, I call children. So this is what my children believe. I'm he that you deny that even exists. That's who I am. And they get messed up. And they go mess up other people. Because there's nothing you can do with experience that teaching can replace. Can't replace it with experience. When you come into a full knowledge of who Jesus is, all the teaching and everything, it'll come alive or die away. Why? Because you come, and that's what he wants, a relationship with you. Well, you know him for yourself, not what somebody else says he is. That's what his desire is. I know who he is. I know his voice. Let me caution you on something, because the world is pulling us into its hole in this respect. We need to not, just because somebody says Jesus or use the word God does not mean they're talking about the Jesus of Scripture. Or are they talking about the God of the Bible? That's the reason why it's so important for you to read the Bible yourself and for you to have a personal relationship with God. Because deception has always been the key component of the enemy. And so people says, I'm not deceived. I go, what's your measuring stick of a deception? How do you know you're not being deceived? What's your basis for that? Is it the Word of God? Is it the Jesus of the Bible? Just because somebody says God, use the word God or use the word Jesus, doesn't mean they're talking about the Jesus of Scripture. Deception comes. That's what the devil does. The truth is, God is moving in the earth right now like never before. But depending on who you listen to, you're going to have a whole different take on what's happening. Here's the deal. I believe a great revival is coming. And every time we think about the word revival, we think about the offshoot of revival, and that's people coming into the kingdom, right? But the word revival comes from the word revive. That means something that was alive, but died, and now is being resurrected again. Dead people that don't know Christ, that's never had a relationship with Christ, are dead in their sins. You can't resurrect something that's never been alive. It is the offshoot of God's people getting revived, doing what Scripture's saying, praying, seeking the heart of God, and then He is coming and changing and filling and pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. That's what happens when God's people. It is not becomings on what the world does, it's becomings on what you do. I'm trying to encourage you to step into the storyline. Write yourself in the storyline. Stop sitting back, pointing fingers at somebody else and they ought to do. My wife and I was talking about this one time. I said, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But just remember one thing. I've never seen a statue erected to a critic. Anybody can be critical. There's a lot of stuff to be critical of. But are you willing to step into that kind of situation where there's homicides every week in that city? Where one of the largest groups of people that are all in alternative life, alternative, that's the world's use, alternative lifestyle, and doing their own thing based on how they feel. And all the enemy has to do is get in their feelings. Because they have no parameter of what is true. You know, if we're going to, Jesus said, I'm going to build my house and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? That if I'm going to be partnering with God, with Jesus, building His church, then He has to set the standard of what His inch is. If I come in there and said, you know, in my language, this is an inch. And it don't matter. That's going to be one jacked up house when it gets done. Because everybody's brought their opinion and there's no standard. Does that make sense? And so we're trying to build a kingdom from a democratic point of view, from a Republican point of view, and from this point of view, and from that point of view. And God said, I ain't trying to. I'm not a Democrat, Republican. I ain't even an American. I'm God. I own it all. Like, the whole world. And that's what I sent you to do. That's what Jesus' prayer was to His disciples. That our kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We always thinking it's just about getting people saved, getting them to heaven. No, it's about bringing heaven to earth. The will and way and reign of God would reign on this earth. So heaven, the earth would look just like heaven. I could get into a big teaching about that. I wish I could and wish I had time on the kingdom and how the kingdom works. But it ain't any. You don't vote in the kingdom of God. God don't give a rip about your opinion. He thinks He God and He acts like it. He paid the most precious thing for you. He owns you. In the sense of, He knows what purposes you have been created for. As a matter of fact, He created the purpose for you to walk in, and then He created you. Ephesians 2:10. Good works laid down before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. Then He created you. It's not trying to figure out what people were created for. It's find out what God's purpose was in their lives. Find that. You guys are slow listeners. So let's finish up here. As we break this down, I want to give you about five things. And if you want to take notes, this may be noteworthy for you to take. Because I've broken the prayer down. And these are very, very, very important things. This is not for you to start looking around and say, who can I share this message with? No, this is self. This is for you. This ain't talking about going to somebody else's house. This is going to your house. Okay? This is for you. Number one, God has asked us to humble ourselves. Humble. My brother John has a saying, I've used it many times. He said, humility is the springboard for promotion. Therefore, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And what he will do? Lift you up. Give up your opinion. It won't matter. It doesn't matter. The truth is, nobody cares but you. Give up your opinion. Humble yourself and surrender to the Lord and allow him and his plans and purposes that knows every hair on your head. Some of us, like me, it's just fewer than it used to be. And so it's easier to count, but he knows all of them. He knows who you are. He knows the purpose he has for you. And when we humble ourselves to do that, he will lift us up. Number two is, again, I'm just taking this from that passage, is to pray. People make such a big deal out of prayer that we have to change our faces and do all this other stuff and really pray. We say, God, I want to earnestly seek you. Well, don't you know God knows when you're earnestly and when you ain't earnest? Prayer is communicating with God. And in that communication, you find that you love spending time with God. And because you get to know him. I mean, how would you like your spouse to come in here and you put a clock on and said, okay, for the next 15 minutes, we're going to fellowship. You're the fellow in my ship right now, and we're going to fellowship. We're going to have some conversation. Whoops, I'm done. Hope you are. I'm out of here. No. Fellowship, prayer is communicating with God. You can do that anytime, anywhere, any moment. When I walked up here on my way, God help me, was my prayer. And the second was, God help these people. Don't let me screw them up. Worse. So we can constantly be praying, asking God for his help, ask God for his eyes, ask God to give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Give us a mouth to speak what his word says, not what I feel like talking about. Does that make sense? So prayer is much easier than you think. It's a communication with God. That's what it is. This is a big one. Hope you don't like it. I know most of you ain't going to like it. The next one is repent. And repentance simply means to change one's mind. Am I thinking right, God, about this? I've had some conversations, I'm being honest and transparent with you, where I've gone in places, I didn't choose the place. I was taken there by somebody. Now, I'm not talking about some strip club or nothing like that. I'm talking about church situations with people, and they're looking for me for answers. And I remember one conversation, he sent me down to the poorest part of Alabama, poorest county. They were giving me all these statistics of how bad this county was. 77% of the people that lived in that county was unchurched. It had a 47% poverty rate. One out of four people were on some kind of government assistance program. And I walked in there and they divide up in groups, and they put me in this group called economic development. And I'm thinking, what am I going to say? They don't have nothing. And I remember having this conversation with the Lord. I said, this is me and God. I've got a relationship with him. I said, God, you're not thinking straight here. You put me in the worst part of it. Every good business person says, get a win, get in the best scenario, get a win, and then duplicate that win. And he says to me, if it works here, it works anywhere. I said, but they don't have nothing. He said, ask them what's in their hands. I said, what do you guys do? I'll never forget the response. Oh, we're farmers. We can grow it, we just can't sell it. I go, oh my God, if you can grow it, we can sell it. I have outlets to be able to sell it. And it was amazing, the energy that started that conversation to the point it became Black Belt Farms. Its own label, its own purpose. Black Belt is not black people. Black Belt is black soil. This is part of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana. It was part of that Delta area that the soil was the richest part, and that's where they grew all the cotton at. But when the boll weevil came in, he took care of all that problem, but the land was still good and fertile. And so to be able to produce crops, some of these were black men and women, white, all different ethnic groups, majority of them was black. And they were sitting on hundreds of acres of land that was fertile, that was just going dormant. It was just dormant. Nobody did anything with it because they couldn't produce it and sell it. They didn't have anything to sell. Nobody to help them sell it. I'm just telling you, God has answers if we seek his heart, to no matter what. But it costs, it requires humility on our part to be able to go there. It requires us to humble ourselves. It requires us to repent of what we're seeing and say, God, is there a better way? Isn't there a better way? Do we still have to do the same old thing and get the same results we've already got, always gotten? The next one is give ear to the voice of the Lord. How do we warrant and fight off deception is knowing the truth. My wife worked in banking for a while, and one of the things that bankers teach tellers is not teaching them about false currency, but they get real familiar with the real currency, so when false currency comes in, they are able to identify it quickly. Why? Because they're so familiar with the real that when the imitation comes, they don't grab for it. We need to get our hearing in tune to what is God saying and doing now, because I know his heart. I know his voice. That's what Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And so we need to tune ourselves. And sometimes, I do this every year. I go on a 21-day of prayer and fasting. And I always ask the Lord, again, I've learned, what does fasting mean to you? What is the best area of opening time and opportunity for me to hear you? And I'm on a media fast. So I didn't see the game last night or the game last week. Why? I turned off the media, Facebook, LinkedIn, all those kinds of things. Why? Those are external voices speaking to me. And so if I turn those things off, I begin to tune my spirit to the voice of the Lord, and I get real keen to what he's saying. Because I eliminate, sometimes it's about eliminating other things, not trying to add something else. Does that make sense? So getting tuned with the voice of the Lord. What will the results be? He will heal our land. He will heal our land. My final words is to you today. These words was taken from Martin the last message he gave before the next day he was assassinated. And he had been, I believe, had a visitation from the Lord, a dream or a vision from the Lord. And he says this, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. And I would tell you, we have some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like any man, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up on the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. And we know he didn't. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get there together. I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not afraid of any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Is that your dream? Is to see the glory of the Lord visit this earth right now? It is my dream. It's where my hope is. It's not in a party. It's not in the political system. I believe we should elect righteous people, because righteous people write just laws. And the foundation of God's throne is both righteousness and justice. That's where He reigns from. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to pray over you and the words you've heard. I wish you guys could just listen a little bit faster. We've got done a lot faster this morning. Lord God, God of the heavens and the earth, You know all things. Our prayer is not to just simply make You aware as if You're uninformed about what's going on in our lives or in our world, but to invite You in with Your answers, Your solution to this. And right now, Lord, I pray over this people that each one would take a piece of what is spoken today and apply it to their lives and see the fruit of Your kingdom come forth in this hour. Let every one of them understand that they are here for a time such as this, that they must write themselves in the storyline, because the truth is You've written them already in the storyline. They have a part to play. They have a mission that You called them to. They have a duty. They have a destiny in You. And so, Lord God, I just pray over this people that they would churn up once again, turn the soil again, and look at those things that You have done in the past, and let faith break forth in their hearts and minds, and come in here and bring others with an expectancy that You're going to show up. They just don't know how You're going to do it, but it's like a child coming down the stairs on Christmas morning. They don't know. They know what they've asked for. They know what they want, but they just know that You're a good Father, and You're going to do something for them to bring joy to their hearts and bring answers to a world that has none. Lord, let us be those answers that You move through, provide witty inventions and so on and so forth. Lord, I just pray for this people. I pray for the people that I'm part of, the black race. Lord, I love the color of my skin. I love that You made me and created me for a time such as this. I belong to You. I am not a black Christian. I'm a Christian that's black. My race, my color, my skin, those things do not define me. I'm Your son, than whom You delight in. And I will bow down to no other purpose. I will bow down and give my allegiance to nothing other than You, whom the King is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, I just pray for this people today as we celebrate this man's legacy and Martin's legacy throughout today. Thank You, God, for raising him up as for the time in which he lived. And Lord, let the fruit of his life be a blessing to all nations, all races, all people, oh God, because he pointed us to You. Let us walk in love. Let us not give in to hate. Let us be like John the Baptist. You're calling us in that time. And we're to shout to a lost generation, He's coming, He's coming. Be aware, He's coming. You're calling us into a time of repentance, Your people, to seek Your heart, turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves and pray and seek Your face, knowing that You will answer as You said You would. You will do everything Your word declares. I bless this people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.